This is the Rick Edelman Show.
You know what we haven't talked about in the last several weeks on this program is what's going on in the investing world. There's been so much activity happening, and I thought it'd be worthwhile to spend some time today talking about that, because you are terribly concerned about what's going on in the investment world, aren't you? You've seen incredible volatility this past week in the stock market. The worst single day since last October occurred earlier this week. And so you're wondering, gee willikers, what should I be doing with my investments these days? Well, let's just take a quick look at what's going on. So far this year, through June 30, the first 6 months of the year, the S&P 500 is up 14%. That's a record high. But also coming along with that is volatility. We have seen it this past week itself, the stock market having a terrible day one day this week, followed by a wonderful day the next. So it's hard to figure out what's going on. Will this be sustained? Is the stock market going to continue to do really well? At this pace, the stock market will be up 28% for the year. Or will investors decide that the party is over, the pace can't be sustained, and there are too many headwinds, too many risks, too many issues that we're dealing with, not least of which is the threat of inflation, along with fears of rising tax rates? So can corporate America keep it up? Well, we do know that there is a couple of dark clouds on the horizon. Number one, of course, is inflation. Consumer prices rose 5% in the month of May alone. That was the fastest, biggest increase in a single month in more than 13 years. Yeah, going all the way back to the credit crisis of 2008. The real question is this: what's going to happen with inflation going forward? We have seen dramatic increases in the price of food and gasoline, car prices, housing prices. But is this high rate of inflation going to continue, or is it over? Are we done? Okay, prices are higher, but are they going to stop rising, or are they going to plateau where they are? Might even prices begin to come back down a little bit? We saw that with lumber, for example. Lumber prices skyrocketed earlier this year and have tumbled ever since. Well, one way we try to get the answer to that question is by turning to the Federal Reserve. I mean, after all, the Federal Reserve, their primary job is inflation and interest rates. And so what does the Fed have to say? What does Jay Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve Board, have to say about this? Well, in short, the Fed has absolutely no idea what's going on with inflation. They don't know whether it's going to continue or not, and they don't know, therefore, whether or when they're going to have to start raising interest rates, because if inflation continues to rise, the Fed's key tool to reduce the rate of inflation is by raising interest rates. Here, in fact, is what Jay Powell had to say earlier this week.
We're experiencing a big uptick in inflation, bigger than many expected, bigger than certainly than I expected. And we're trying to understand whether it's something that will pass through fairly quickly, or whether we need to act.
Now, this isn't a particularly reassuring comment. I mean, you kind of hope that the captain of the ship knows how to steer the boat. But the Fed is frankly being honest with us all. This is all so new, unprecedented. We've never experienced a situation like this. You know, after spending several trillion dollars in dealing with the pandemic, with the Fed engaging in massive amounts of cash into the economy to support the nation while we're dealing with the lockdowns and the business declines and everything else that we've experienced over the past year and a half. Now, as we emerge from that, the economy comes back rip-roaring well, will the threat of inflation undo all of this? And the Fed is acknowledging, well, you know, we're just not sure what's going to happen. Now, I will tell you this, or I should say rather, the Fed will tell you this. They're projecting an annual rate of inflation of 2%. So you have to keep this in mind. The Fed is consciously, deliberately targeting a rate of inflation of 2%, which means they know that they want prices to be higher a year from now than they are today. And let me put it to you in another way. Every dollar you have in the bank a year from now will be worth 98 cents. That's the impact of 2% inflation. Now, investors offset that decline in value in terms of buying power because of inflation. Investors offset that by earning interest on their money or generating a rate of return on their money, an increase in value of their assets. So I'll put the question to you. Are you earning 2% in your bank account? If you're not, that means you're losing money in real economic terms, net of inflation. If inflation is 2% and you're only earning 0.5%, well, that means you're losing money in real economic terms. And that's even before we talk about taxes. Because if you're earning 0.5% in the bank, but you're losing 1/3 of that to taxes, well, then your real rate of return, net of taxes, is 0.17. And if inflation is 2%, well, it means you're losing 1.8 in real economic terms, net of taxes and inflation, which is why I often say that people who have money in bank accounts, well, the reason you have money in the bank is because you want your money to be safe. You don't want to expose it to market risk. You don't want to take the chances that the stock market might crash or what have you. So you put the money in the bank for safety. Well, guess what? You're going broke safely by having money in the bank because net of taxes, net of inflation, you're not keeping pace with the cost of living. This is a real challenge. And by the way, this isn't merely a challenge in the United States. This is a challenge globally. Food prices around the world surged 40% in the month of May alone. The United Nations says it's the biggest rise in food prices in 10 years, and they're now beginning to get worried that starvation is going to rise in the world's poorer countries, as the world's poor can't afford to buy food. So this is a global condition and a global concern. So what are investors doing about it? What might you be contemplating? If you can't get the rate of return you need from your local bank account or treasuries or super safe savings and investment vehicles, where do you go? How do you get the rate of return you need that exceeds the rate of taxes and inflation? Well, investors are doing some pretty crazy things. Take a look at what's going on in the world of junk bonds. So many investors have thrown money into junk bonds. These are bonds that are considered triple B and below. That's their rating, triple B. The very best rating is triple A. That's followed by double A, single A, triple B, and then followed by double B, single B, all the way down to single digit C. When you get to junk bond yields, you know, everything triple B and above is considered investment grade. Pension funds and others are allowed to invest in investment-grade bonds. You get below investment grade, they're called speculative grade, otherwise known as junk, because there's a risk that the company that issued the bond might go out of business, which means not only don't you earn any interest, you don't even get your money back. Well, investors have been ignoring the risks of junk bonds because they've been looking at the yields. These yields pay a lot higher interest. Well, it's kind of obvious why. Why would you take the risk of buying a junk bond? They've got to entice you by paying you more in interest than you'd get from a treasury or a bank savings account. Junk bond yields, though, are now at about 4.5%. Now, you're saying to yourself, gee, Rick, that's a whole lot better than my bank. And it is at 4.5. But it's actually a record low. If you compare junk bond yields to treasury yields, because treasuries are the safest investment in the world. That's the general attitude investors have, the investment standard of the world. And if you compare junk bond yields to treasury yields are only 2.5% less than junk bond yields. Why would you take the incredible risk of a junk bond to merely earn 2% more? And that's not all. Investors have thrown $29 billion into municipal bonds this year, and their yields are also the lowest level on record. The Muni Bond Index is 0.95. You're earning less than 1%. And there's such a thing as junk muni bonds. Local governments that have very little revenue, very small tax base, and they're unrated. These are called junk munis. They're only 5% of the total municipal bond market, but they have received 25% of investor dollars this year. Investors are chasing yield in a desperate effort to earn higher returns. And unfortunately, well, you know what happens when you chase yield. You're taking far greater risks. Investors are more focused about the return on their money than the risks of the return of their money. So before you go chasing yield, you need to recognize that the higher the rate of return that's being promised, the greater the risk you're taking to do it. 888-PLAN-RICK, rickedelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Dollar cost averaging does not assure a profit or protect against a loss in a declining market. For the strategy to be effective, you must continue to purchase shares in both up and down markets. As such, an investor needs to consider his or her financial ability to continuously invest through periods of low price levels. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results. An index is a portfolio of specific securities. Common examples are the S&P, DJIA, NASDAQ, the performance of which is often used as a benchmark in judging the relative performance of certain asset classes. Indexes are unmanaged portfolios, and investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance does not guarantee future results.